877-288-9116. 877-288-9116.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, good morning. I'm here at the American Freedom Network, and we live in exciting times. And I will tell you that things are happening at a rate really unparalleled since, in my memory, and that goes back some 82 years now. Well, we've got Joel Skousen on the program this morning, and he's going to bring us up to date with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Let's start off with Obama's dirty war in Libya.
All right.
Colonel Gaddafi has become the third Arab leader to be ousted by foreign intervention in less than a year by the United States. Next on the block, I think, are Syria, Yemen, and Algeria. However, the destruction of Libya by the West has been a very messy operation, fraught with false justifications, deceptive warfare through third parties, too many civilian casualties blamed on NATO, and outright false reporting. The humanitarian cost of this NATO operation has far outweighed the supposed humanitarian justifications used to start the war. Of course, we know that that was just a pretext, and it's important for the world to get used to the globalist objective of going to the United Nations for permission for everything. The rationale for the overthrow of strongman Muammar Gaddafi, based upon relatively minor human rights violations, begs for an explanation of why the U.S. refuses to tackle such pariah nations like Zimbabwe or North Korea first, where the evils of government tyranny and crushing violations of human rights are massive by comparison. Well, it's hard to know the real state of affairs, Stan, in Tripoli at any given moment. News reports from the mainstream media have been extremely biased, if not filled with outright fabrications. One of the reasons for the lack of honest journalism is that the independent foreign press in Tripoli has been threatened with injury or being blackballed if they persist in telling the truth. Some have even been the target of snipers to bring home the message. Reuters has been particularly bad in reporting what NATO audiences are supposed to hear, with large doses of exaggeration concerning what is happening on the ground. Here's an example. They say jubilant fighters, this was from Wednesday, swept into the heart of Tripoli as Muammar Gaddafi's forces collapsed and crowds took to the streets to celebrate what they saw as the rapid approaching end of his four decades of absolute power. Well, you know, you'd hear that, Stan, you'd think, you know, you see this picture that accompanied the story about just huge crowds, just jubilation, nobody with arms, you know, it's all over. Well, it wasn't all over. They also said that two of Gaddafi's sons were captured by the rebels, but their whereabouts unknown. Well, it turned out the latter was not true. And the claim that Gaddafi's forces had collapsed was also very premature. Well, fierce fighting is going to be ongoing for quite a few more days as thousands of pro-Gaddafi civilian supporters have been armed and they have vowed to carry on a guerrilla war. It is inevitable the forces in opposition to the new rebel regime will grow in strength as the undemocratic and ruthless nature of the rebel regime fully dawns on the Libyan people. Well, there's little discipline in that organization among the broad coalition of rebel bands, each owing greater allegiance to their small group than to the whole. Once the Gaddafi regime is defanged, there will be deep and fierce infighting, I predict, for control of the new government. It's going to take months to sort out who belongs to what faction and who should be disarmed and allowed to carry arms. NATO's going to have a tough time, as used the illusion of putting Humpty Dumpty back together again now that Gaddafi's been pushed off the wall. For more of the targeting of non-mainstream reporters, the UK Examiner filed this report. It said, according to human rights organizations, the U.S. allegedly ordered targeted killings of Voltaire Network reporters, Mahdi Darius Nazaroya and Thierry Maison. Thierry Maison, as you remember, was one of those who was involved in questioning whether or not a plane actually exploded in the Pentagon because of the lack of any major aircraft parts outside the wall. He's back in the news again as reporting from Libya. Another reporter, Mohammed Nabous, was killed Saturday, according to ABC News. In a report with KPF Radio, he was reporting mostly that most of the mainstream news has been falsifying their reports. In fact, there were some interesting things about that Mahdi Nazaroya told that CNN had directly threatened him through another person, told him personally that he would pay for opposing the war. Imagine that, a broadcaster threatening an independent journalist for reporting the truth about what's on the ground. Well, as I've reported before in the World Affairs Brief, CNN started out as a CIA operation in the Gulf War and has never stopped being a shield for the government. NATO knows who the independent reporters are, and they are being targeted. There are snipers on rooftops who know who's friend and foe. Another reporter, Franklin, was shot in the leg. I think he's okay, he said in an email from Tripoli. But he also said the rebels are armed guerrilla gangs and mercenaries who are indistinguishable from Tripoli residents and are waging street warfare. Independent journalists complain about seeing fake video footages, that is, video footage that had been taken at some other place in celebration and put inserted in as if there's a great outpouring of support for the rebels. And false reports of the sons of Gaddafi in rebel hands. Of course, the claims of rebels controlling Tripoli completely are all lies, although as the situation becomes more chaotic, I'm sure that they will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think one of the examples of Western media reporting is the use of mass celebrations in the streets of cities like Chihuahua and Misrata. As documented by Stephen Lindman, he said that, in essence, NATO forces came in and bombed Gaddafi's military, who fled the area because of the bombing. Then they moved in immediately. A whole bunch of rebel supporters took films of them rejoicing about taking over the town. And then Gaddafi's forces came back and pushed the rebels out. And it looked as if, and of course, the TV footage only showed the celebration as if there had been a total rout of those forces. So it's amazing what happens when the media becomes tools of propaganda for the government itself.
But, you know, the thing is, where is the outcry from our congressional leaders about America being involved in another war? I mean, why isn't anybody here concerned about the fact that a lot of civilians are being killed in our bombing? And I don't care what they say, well, it's not American, it's NATO. We provide three-quarters of the funding for NATO. Basically, where is the outcry? Why aren't the American people upset? Men and women become accomplices to evil they fail to oppose.
Ladies, this is Danny Golden, informing you that heart attacks in women can be different than heart attacks in men. Women having heart attacks will experience nausea, vomiting, indigestion, shortness of breath, or simply sudden and extreme fatigue, but no chest pain. Get emergency medical help and call 911 immediately if you are experiencing any of these symptoms. Pain, pressure, burning or squeezing in the chest, jaw, shoulders, back or arms that last more than 5 to 10 minutes. Unexplained shortness of breath lasting more than 5 to 10 minutes. Sudden severe nausea, vomiting or indigestion. Sudden sweating for no reason. Sudden unexplained extreme fatigue. Loss of consciousness or fainting. Or sudden unexplained panicky feeling of doom. The key, ladies, is to listen to your body. Follow your instincts, and if you experience symptoms that are disturbing to you in any way or even remotely related to your heart, get yourself checked out right away. If your doctor brushes you off, that's a sign you need a new doctor, one who will actually do what is necessary to get to the bottom of your symptoms.
This is Pastor Michael Golden encouraging you to learn more about the gifts God has given you with a life-changing 12-week study we recently taught at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation. This series combines neuroscience research with biblical scripture to help you discover your spiritual gifts. Learn to function from love, not fear. Be at peace with yourself. Feel complete, confident, and spiritually fulfilled as you realize your design in life and the importance of being equipped to serve the kingdom of God. For a love offering of $30 or more, receive a printed or emailed compilation of this in-depth study, scientific research, scripture, and two personal questionnaires. One evaluates brain processing, and the other one directs you towards your potential spiritual gifts. Learn how your mind, body, and spirit can heal from past hurts. Discover how to rid yourself of toxic thinking, speech, and bad habits. Realize how to understand yourself and others better, increase discernment, and walk in wisdom, love, and forgiveness using the biblical foundations to build up the body of Messiah. Send your payment to Voice of Many Waters, P.O. Box 626, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, and include your name, address, and phone number or email address. That's P.O. Box 626, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534.
Well, Dr. Stan here at American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Joel Skousen, and I was just saying that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Why aren't the American people up in arms? It should be so obvious that America is behind the toppling of the Egyptian government, the Tunisian government, the Libyan government, the revolution that's going on in Syria today. Why are the American intelligence agencies in the process of overthrowing, you know, all of these stable governments? Maybe we don't like those governments. But what about what's going on in Zimbabwe? Why are we taking military action and bombing Zimbabwe? They don't have democracy there. And how many civilians have we killed in all of these countries in the name of saving the civilians and preventing human atrocities? The American people, so obsessed with the good life, and our Christian leaders are suddenly silent about very important moral issues. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, I think the problem in the United States, and indeed perhaps in the Western world, is that the public takes its cues from the media. What they say, I mean, it's just like reporting about the stock market. The media tells them, the people why the stock market went up and down based upon one simplistic, totally irrelevant, not necessarily relevant, but as if some indicator came out and it was slightly up and therefore the market zoomed, and nobody makes decisions based upon one indication. But, if the media doesn't make a drumbeat of something, if the media doesn't allow real true critics of government policy on the air, people will not get upset. Very few people think for themselves, including pastors. Well, now that the battle for Libya is in its final stages, it's time to assess who is doing what. The rebels, of course, are a ragtag conglomeration of anti-Gaddafi tribal factions combined with former Libyan combatants who were sent by Western intelligence agencies to fight against the Western coalition forces in Iraq. Yes, you heard me right. You know, the Western intelligence agencies actually recruited people to go and fight against American forces and others in Iraq so as to have an excuse to crush the opposition. Alone, these undisciplined forces don't have a chance against Gaddafi's armed forces. Key to the prosecution of this illegal war has been the use of American and NATO fighter bombers and armed drones. They have been waging a relentless and largely secret bombing campaign on Gaddafi's military bases and troop concentrations. U.S. Air Force and Navy aircraft were also still participating in ground attack sorties long after Obama said there was no further U.S. combat role. you know, this entire ideological battle about the illegality of the war was, interesting enough, played out several months ago when Ron Paul and others pointed out that it was an illegal war that didn't have congressional authorization, and Obama just says it wasn't a war, that wasn't combat. He was lying, of course, and everybody just sat on their hands, at least the Republican leadership, and took no further action. Should have been grounds for impeachment. Well, NATO jets have been pounding Gaddafi's forces whenever they mass enough strength to be visible to the rebels or the NATO special forces that are on the ground. This constant targeting by air power is the reason Tripoli wasn't cordoned off at the perimeter to keep rebel forces from pouring in. Any fixed fortifications were blasted by NATO aircraft. Gaddafi was forced to implement guerrilla tactics within the city. The media are even partially admitting that foreign special forces were on the ground, as Kurt Nimmo pointed out at Infowars.com this week. Now that NATO's within reach of overthrowing Gaddafi, the corporate media is rife with reports that Al-Qaeda, tribal warlords, and disenfranchised former Gaddafi bureaucrats had plenty of help from the U.S., Britain, and NATO in the Arab Spring. Special forces troops from Britain, France, and Jordan and Qatar were on the ground in Libya. They've stepped up operations in Tripoli. British forces in particular have inserted assisted rebel units by helping them get better organized to conduct operations. That's a typical euphemism stated by officials, help them get better organized. Indeed, these people had massive amounts of weapons on the ground. They were using special satellite communications to talk to drones and integrating that intelligence from cameras on drones to direct air power onto any opposition as NATO or as rebel forces would move ahead. In other words, the rebel forces were in fact directed by special forces people. Qatari and French forces have all provided armaments, and the Pakistan also had a revealing article from the Pakistan Observer about the participation of U.S. forces in Libya, and there's been several other reports as well. Well, Stan, an editorial in the Boston Sun expressed the growing frustration of Americans who are fed up with this continual stream of foreign intervention. Quote, how appropriate, the front page photo shows a joyous Libyan rebel dressed in American battle dress uniform. Glad he's so happy. As a taxpayer, I'm sickened to realize that once again our dollars, 900 billion of them and counting, have been squandered in another unnecessary war. So I guess now we can look forward to the executions, he writes, Muammar Gaddafi, his sons, and other family members. Where does our Constitution mandate America must police the world? While NATO will claim honors for the Libyan rebel victory, everyone knows it was Uncle Sam that did the heavy lifting. While I'm speaking of expenses, who's going to pay for the cleanup of that country? Care for the maimed and the wounded, the resettlement of refugees, and the repair of Tripoli's infrastructures. Naturally, it will be us, the American taxpayer. Well, in summary, Gaddafi will lose this battle soon, but that doesn't mean that there will be peace in Libya. There's so many warring factions in the country that Western globalists will have their hands full trying to produce a reliable puppet government that won't engender more extreme discontent among the Libyan people. This is what happened, of course, in Egypt when you had the military come in and take over and take away the power of the, provoked uprising against Mubarak. But in any case, the people who thought they were riding the wave of revolution in the Arab Spring are now very, very disappointed that the military has really enacted very few changes at all.
Well, I think the American people have to understand that this is a prelude to the Muslim Brotherhood taking that whole area and eventually some sort of a war that we're going to be involved in. You have to have an enemy. We're creating an enemy because the major purpose of American foreign policy is to create conflict as a path to world government. That is the whole objective behind our government's policies, is to bring in this one world government. Until the American people understand that, it doesn't matter whether the Republicans are in power, the Democrats are in power, the same people working behind the scenes, the globalists, are using America's wealth and America's fighting forces to bring in a totalitarian world government. And nobody tells the American people that.
Well, frankly, I'm not quite sure that they're in fact going to let the Muslim Brotherhood take over every one of these countries. I think it's sufficient that they have someone in there who's going to be a puppet government to them. And, you may well be right later on, but as for now, it appears that they're simply going to pick and choose of who can be most reliably controlled, and that doesn't seem to be the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt at this time. So, you know, the media keeps flirting with that, so we'll have to wait and see on that.
The only way
the only way the Western powers will control the resources of Libya is by direct military occupation of key infrastructures. So I think we can expect to see a UN-authorized peacekeeping force in Libya. All this is continuing to build the reputation of the U.S. and now NATO as the bullies of the world. Gaddafi also has huge stockpiles of weapons and munitions, some of which may be classified as weapons of mass destruction. There are some chemical weapons there. It is unlikely that the West will allow the rebels to have control of these, nor the 144 tons of gold bullion that Libya has stashed away somewhere. It's bad enough that the international bankers have confiscated all of Libya's accumulated oil wealth in their bank accounts overseas and turned Libyan money over to the rebels. I'm betting that gold will also end up confiscated by Western powers as payment for the war, though I don't expect any announcement to be made publicly. And Gaddafi may be hard to capture. His compound was laced with underground tunnels leading off in all directions, including to the airport and the harbor port. Gaddafi seems to find a way to make a tape-recorded clandestine broadcast each day to keep loyalist spirits alive. Thursday, he said, quote, "The tribes, that is the largest tribal factions that support Gaddafi, must march on Tripoli. Do not leave Tripoli to those rats. Kill them. Defeat them quickly. I don't think it will work, but it might be good to see this all-powerful appearing global conspiracy stalled and wallowing in a quagmire of guerrilla warfare. The only hope for Libya is the rebel infighting will derail this provoked and false revolution. And there's plenty of infighting going on. Libya's rebel council knows who killed their top military commander, assassinated this month by another rebel group, but will not immediately identify the perpetrators for fear that the information will hurt the revolution. Well, eventually it's going to leak out, Stan, and tribal infighting will start all over again. It's not that tribal hatred was any better or worse under Gaddafi, only that Gaddafi's iron hand kept a lid on it. Countries like this could never build a democratic society with limits on power. They'll always be ruled by strong men, one way or the other.
I fear you're right. I know you're right. Go right ahead.
Well, let's talk about the latest scandal at the SEC. Darcy Flynn, a 13-year-old veteran SEC attorney, has turned state's evidence and whistleblower and revealed that the agency tasked with prosecuting investment fraud and misrepresentation has been systematically destroying evidence and closing over 600 cases since 1983 in order to spare the big boys on Wall Street from prosecution. I've always made the case, Dan, that the regulatory agencies are part of the immunity system, which the powers that be established. And they use courts. That doesn't mean that they control every judge, but they do control the judges at the highest levels. And I'll talk about this a little bit later in the brief. William K. Black, professor of economics and law and senior regulator during the SNL crisis, says that the government's entire strategy, regulatory strategy, is to cover up fraud on Wall Street. He cites the following examples. The rating agencies that colluded with government to overrate junk mortgage-backed securities. The U.S. Treasury has allowed certain insider banks to cook the books. Businessweek reported in 2006 that, quote, President George W. Bush had bestowed on his intelligence czar, John Negroponte, broad authority in the name of national security to excuse publicly traded companies from their usual accounting and security disclosure obligations. Number three, Tim Geithner, as head of the Federal Reserve of New York, conspired with U.S. Treasury to bail out AIG derivative counterparties at full value, meaning bail them out at the full value of their credit default swaps, those are those derivatives, saving Goldman Sachs and other insider banks billions in payments that they didn't have to make good on because they were the ones guaranteeing those derivative contracts or those insurance policies. Four, Freddie and Fannie, that's Freddie Mae and Fannie Mac, were complicit in creating the low mortgage requirements leading to the wave of mortgage fraud. The FBI warned of mortgage fraud clear back in 2004. However, the SEC did nothing. The SEC also ignored accounting errors that were indicative of fraud when discovered on audits. This was the kind of evidence destroyed so that no one could go back and see a pattern of collusion among the too big to fail banks. In the New York Times, it said, as the financial storm brewed in the summer of 2008, federal prosecutors officially adopted new guidelines about changing corporations, about charging corporations with crimes. A softer approach that longtime white-collar lawyers and former federal prosecutors say helps explain the dearth of criminal cases being brought for prosecution despite a raft of inquiries into the financial crisis. And Frank Rich reports, the much-discussed piece of the New Yorker, what haunts the Obama administration and what still haunts the country, the stunning lack of accountability for the greed and misdeeds that brought America to its gravest financial crisis since the Great Depression. There has been no legal, moral, or financial reckoning for the most powerful wrongdoers, none. Nor have there been meaningful reforms that might prevent a repeat catastrophe. The Justice Department's ballyhooed Operation Broken Trust has broken still more trust by chasing mainly low-echelon, one-off, Madoff-type wannabes. Those in executive suites at the top of the chain have long since fled the scene with the proceeds, while bleeding shareholders and
investors. Hold the thought. We'll be right back with Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Center.
The biggest self-reliance expo in the U.S. is back, and it's bigger and better than ever at the Denver National Western Complex Friday, September 16th from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. and Saturday, September 17th from 9 until 6 p.m. Tickets available at the door or online at selfrelianceexpo.com. Join local experts and exhibitors from around the country who will provide you with progressive products and services like alternative energy resources and long-term food storage and water storage. Attend classes on canning, bread making, and soap making, and much more. Like meeting Discovery Channel's co-star of the series Dual Survival, David Canterbury. Achieve a more sustainable and self-reliant lifestyle for yourself and your family and enjoy promotional samples, freebies, exciting giveaways, and drawings, including an exclusive KHNC The Lion VIP meet and greet. Adults $9, seniors $7. Infants and youth under 12 are free. Receive a $2 discount on admission price by purchasing your tickets online at selfrelianceexpo.com.
Hi, I'm Bev Parker. Are you looking for a better, safer, healthier way to live? Then join me for Extreme Health, a series of essential oil workshops at the Fort Collins Hilton, Wednesday, August 31st, beginning at 4 p.m. Experience the natural healing power of essential oils and learn to use them. At 4 o'clock in the Extremely Healthy Home session, learn to make your own organic cleaning and beauty products. Get great ideas for homeschool with an essential oils unit study. Learn about German stress buster oils for back-to-school kids. And register for our special MOM prize. Extremely Healthy You begins at 6:30. We'll focus on digestive health and internal cleansing with essential oils and hear from John Parker on emergency preparedness. Other treats include gifts, prizes, therapy chocolates, and Q&A with special guest Danny Golden. Join us for healthy fun Wednesday, August 31st at the Fort Collins Hilton. See bevparker.info, that's bevparker.info, or call 970-493-6789, 970-493-6789.
The people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Well, I've been back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess it's one of Joel's cows. And before we go on, Joel, oh, would you like to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to World Affairs Brief and how they can get your books? Joel's written three excellent books on preparations for the very difficult times that lie ahead. Go right ahead.
Well, thanks, Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and listeners can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. Also on my website, joelskousen.com, you can see pictures of my various books and a brief synopsis. The top-selling book is the new third edition of Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. I even have a new section covering international retreats and safe places. It's really the only thing out there, the market, full of 400 pages and color maps and analysis of every place in the United States and Canada that allows people to make choices. It isn't like, some survival blogs that just say, well, there's three states and you're dead if you don't get into these three states. Most people cannot leave the state where they're at because of job or family, and I provide guidance on how to work within each state to find some safety. Admittedly, it's very difficult in the far eastern states of the United States with high population density to find long-term safety, but at least there are places safer than in the cities themselves. I also cover a lot of contingency planning that people can do when they can't leave major metropolitan areas because of their jobs. My major book, my largest book, is The Secure Home. It's over 700 pages big, and it covers everything from high security construction to complete self-sufficiency through multi-fuel furnaces and water heating capacities to solar and generator power. And the last book talks about how to implement a high security shelter in the home. That is, how to build a safe room in a basement in a do-it-yourself manner. And all three of these books are available by calling Radio Liberty
at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the SEC covering for the biggest banks, and basically they're making the excuse that, well, we destroyed all of the over 80% of these investigative files because they were too big to prosecute. Well, they certainly weren't too big when you combine them all together. These are individual claims of fraud. When you look at the fact that they're all focusing on J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley, who hold 80% of the country's derivative risk, then you're talking about some. And we know that it really was fraud. These people developed a fraudulent market in mortgage-backed securities, and they guaranteed them with fraudulent ratings in collusion with rating agencies, and then they built an entire $500 trillion derivatives mechanism in order to insure those, and then when they defaulted, they got a bailout, so they didn't have to make good on their insurance policies. I mean, people should have gone to jail in droves. Last week, the public was treated to a disgusting spectacle of insider Warren Buffett applauding Obama for proposing to raise taxes on the rich like himself. This week, Buffett outdid himself by investing $5 billion in the failing Bank of America. The markets were unimpressed and dropped 1%, and I think for good reason. Buffett didn't do this out of the goodness of his heart. Gave him $5 billion in exchange for special shares that give 6% dividends. That's over $300 million a year. It's a real great deal in a society where you can't even get 1% with money in the bank today. I think it's become abundantly clear that Buffett isn't a capitalist at all, but a shill for big government. I don't think there's any coincidence in Warren Buffett holding a secret gathering of high-end corporate officials at Omaha and off at Air Force Base on September 11, 2011. Most of the high-profile corporate officials occupying the World Trade Center were not there at the time of the terrorist attack because they were off with Warren Buffett. I just don't think that's coincidental. The real lesson of this SEC story is that regulatory agencies are totally controlled. They form, together with the executive and higher courts, a conspiracy to deliver immunity for those who are players in the globalist scheme of government. Sure, some of the lesser ones get taken down from time to time for the good of the cause, making the Americans think that their government is working. But it's only for show and only for those who are made scapegoats, which are later compensated for their sacrifice. Another big scandal covered up by the SEC is coming to light by the efforts of Harry Markopoulos, famous for blowing the whistle on the Madoff Ponzi scheme, only to have his claims ignored by the SEC for the better part of a decade. He claims many of the big banks are skimming an additional 3% from state pension funds every time a currency trade is made on the Forex. The data ticker reports, attorneys general in Virginia and Florida filed civil suits against Bank of New York Mellon, alleging that the bank cheated pension funds in those states by choosing improper prices for currency trades the bank processed for the funds. The Virginia lawsuit filed in Fairfax, Virginia, state court, cites national bank emails allegedly showing that senior bank officials knew about and endorsed a currency trading method that hurt state pensioners. In the case, Markopoulos says Bank of New York Mellon and State Street were taking about 0.3% from every Forex transaction for pension funds by back-timing the trade to benefit banks at the detriment of their pension fund clients. And this is a real scandal, and the SEC had buried it, and now that it's made public, I think somebody's going to, you know, I don't know how they'll get out of this. I don't know. Probably put some poor little middle manager in jail. But it's only symptomatic of the sophistication at which these major brokers and banks can do things that their clients and pension funds don't understand. Well, another important story about corrupt judges is in Idaho. Edgar Steele is a brilliant and sharp-tongued attorney from Northern Idaho who lost his cool and began ranting too much about conspiracy and the evils of government. He made the tactical mistake of making Jews the target of his rants and got targeted himself for a takedown and railroaded into prison. As pointed out on the Free Edgar Steele website, in a stunning and far-reaching precedent-setting ruling issued by the Supreme Court of Idaho this past week, the right to confidential communications between attorneys and individuals charged with crimes under the Sixth Amendment is no longer enforced in Idaho. Without comment, and this is what always disgusts me about this, is whenever the Supreme Court rules something which is totally contrary to constitutional law, they do it without comment so they don't have to justify it. The entire bench of the Idaho Supreme Court ruled that the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution no longer applies within the boundary of Idaho. The result was obtained from the summary dismissal of a complaint lodged against U.S. Attorney Tracy Whalen by Edgar Steele, formerly admitted to practice in all the courts. Steele's complaint about U.S. Attorney Whalen behavior was sent to the Idaho State Bar and then was forwarded to the Idaho Supreme Court because Whalen herself sits on the State Bar. Attorney Steele's complaint went much further than making out a prima facie case of criminal behavior on the part of this U.S. attorney. I'll talk
Hold
about that.
Thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Theater Festival.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. RDS Environment in Broomfield has a reminder to parents. Most child abductors succeed by winning the confidence of their victims. Don't endanger your child by giving him clothing with his name on it. Children respond more readily to strangers when addressed by name. That's from RDS Environmental, serving the entire state of Colorado. Call 303-444-5253. That's 303-444-5253 for RDS Environmental in Lafayette, where Tammy and her staff are on the air because they care. Call and mention you heard this message for 10% off any service. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, a segment of this morning's program. And certainly, Joel was discussing the corruption in the courts. When the courts become corrupt, then no man's life or property are safe. And unfortunately, when a nation turns against God, why, there is no barrier to corruption at all, because men will either be ruled by God or they'll be ruled by tyrants. And unfortunately, the legal system in America is corrupt. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, the essence of this case is that Attorney Steele asked the Idaho Supreme Court to take judicial notice of certain documents in the custody of the Justice Department and Idaho's Federal District Court, which they used to convict him. He said, "I wrote letters to attorneys plainly marked legal mail and addressed to lawyers with the title attorney at law. The feds opened those sealed letters, photocopied them, and sent them back to me as part of their pretrial document production, a clear violation of the U.S. Constitutional Sixth Amendment." He's absolutely right. No government is allowed to open mail or eavesdrop on attorney-client and then use that in court to convict them. It's always been thrown out as a violation of attorney-client privilege. For 200 years, the U.S. Supreme Court has held that a criminal defendant's right to assistance of counsel is among the oldest rights held inviolate and necessarily includes the ability to communicate in strict confidence. Steele alleged and proved by reference to documents both on file that Wayland, the U.S. attorney, intentionally and secretly eavesdrops into conversation between Steele and all three of his attorneys of record. The confidential conversation secretly recorded stands several months, both prior and directly following Steele's trial. Steele alleges that the confidential information he gleaned from his conversation with his lawyers is what led to his conviction, and therefore it ought to be thrown out, and they denied that. Now, one by one, the courts are failing to uphold constitutional rights. If this can happen in Idaho, one of the most conservative states in the union, it can and will happen elsewhere. However, I must disagree with this website's portrayal. It does not represent a precedent-setting thing. When the Idaho Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court does something so egregiously against precedent, they don't make new precedent. They simply do it as an exception. And this is even more sinister. In point of fact, these same judges will probably uphold attorney-client privilege in the next case that comes before them. And that's why they don't actually give an opinion on this. They just decline to rule in their favor, and they dismiss it so that it doesn't establish precedent. They aren't really against the right of attorney-client or client privileges. They simply got the proverbial phone call in the night and were told to take down Edgar Steele, and that's just what they did. That's much worse than having a judicial activist on the bench. It's a deadly sign that judges are controlled by the powers that be and not independent as intended. So I think that's a very essential point that I want to make, is that it isn't that no longer in Idaho or attorney-client privilege is defended. It's just that judges will selectively choose to disregard the law if they decide to take down somebody who the government wants to target. And that's what's happened here. Well, there's also the story that continues to raise about backdoor amnesty for illegals. Stories making its round on the web that Obama enacted a congressionally defeated Dream Act via executive orders. While this was not true, the truth is just as bad. What is true is that John Morton of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, issued a memo dated June 17th of this year on prosecutorial discretion. And basically he states that Homeland Security will begin to prioritize the removal of people convicted of crimes in the United States. Now, they particularly worded this to say prioritize the removal to make it look like they're obeying the intent of the law to remove illegal aliens. But in fact, what this does is give an excuse to concentrate on the non-removal of every illegal alien that isn't guilty of a serious crime. This memo effectively tells illegal aliens that they're home free. It goes beyond saying non-prosecution. They're basically going to put them on a list that allows them to apply for a work permit as an illegal alien. That heretofore has been illegal. In other words, if you're here illegally, you're not allowed to apply for a work permit. You have to come in legally. So there's much more to this memo than is...
And with millions of unemployed Americans looking for work, now we're going to allow the people here who are illegal to work legally. This just doesn't make any sense unless people understand the real goal is to destroy the laboring class of this country, and they're going to do a great job. Impoverish the people, establish the world government.
Well, one of the things that they're going to allow also is prosecutors to take into consideration that if an illegal alien is enrolled in college, that will give him, that will be a justification for non-prosecution. And that is, in essence, the establishment of the DREAM Act, meaning that you can have a path to citizenship if you enroll in college or the military. So in this sense, they're bribing a lot of people to join the military at a time that it's getting less and less popular to do so. So that leads me to one of the last stories here is the fact that rape in the military hits both genders. Newsweek blew the whistle on a growing cover-up in the military, which is male rape. We've covered in the World Affairs Brief the massive efforts of the top brass to cover up for female rape as women are increasingly thrust into close contact with males in the military. But the real secret is in the increase of sodomy, many times perpetrated as criminal acts just for the searing violence of it. Military leaders are so consumed with the political pressure to accept homosexuals into the ranks that they are desperate to keep the story under wraps. Every time you hear ignorant Americans praising military honor and morality, just remember this story. While male rape is not the most common form of perversion, it is practiced by the most violent soldiers, even when not gay. The military culture includes the constant use of the vilest language known to man. From my experience as a military officer, I estimate that fully 80% of all service personnel use filthy language habitually. But it is far more prevalent in the combat units where the macho image reigns supreme and all kinds of moral degradation seem justifiable. For moral and religious service personnel, being in the military is a real trial and getting worse. I don't recommend that any Christian go and serve in the military anymore, not only because of this pressure to be immoral and to be constantly subjected to vile language, but also because of the forced vaccination policy of the military, which is a real threat to a person's health.
Well, we're out of time, Joel. It's a sad commentary, but this is the real reality of what's going on. Talk to you next week. God bless.
This is Pastor Michael Golden encouraging you to learn more about the gifts God has given you with a life-changing 12-week study we recently taught at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation. This series combines neuroscience research with biblical scripture to help you discover your spiritual gifts. Learn to function from love, not fear. Be at peace with yourself. Feel complete, confident, and spiritually fulfilled as you realize your design in life and the importance of being equipped to serve the kingdom of God. For a love offering of $30 or more, receive a printed or emailed compilation of this in-depth study, scientific research, scripture, and two personal questionnaires. One evaluates brain processing, and the other one directs you towards your potential spiritual gifts. Learn how your mind, body, and spirit can heal from past hurts. Discover how to rid yourself of toxic thinking, speech, and bad habits. Realize how to understand yourself and others better, increase discernment, and walk in wisdom, love, and forgiveness using the biblical foundations to build up the body of Messiah. Send your payment to Voice of Many Waters, P.O. Box 626, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, and include your name, address, and phone number or email address. That's P.O. Box 626, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, I'm back here, and let me mention Joel's book on strategic relocation, on the secure home and building a secure room in your home. All three books are available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me, of course, remind you, we will be speaking there at Littleton on the 17th of September. We're having our all-day conference here in the North Shore Monterey Bay on the 23rd of October, bringing in some excellent speakers. Hope you can come. We usually have a contingent from Colorado. Then, of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand what really motivates what's going on today, let me suggest it. And Brotherhood of Darkness is short, concise, to the point, but will change the way you look at the world. Our telephone number, again, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV, WAR. Now, of course, we do hope many of you out there will want to get the other material we have. We have all sorts of books. We're certainly carrying the book, The Search for Kunsaw. Kunsaw, because the drug lord who controlled the drugs in the Golden Triangle there in Burma and Thailand for many years. And, of course, working closely with the CIA, the book written by an investigative reporter, spent 6 years on the book, numerous books in print by major publishers, but of course no major publisher would handle this one. Why? Because it goes to the fact that the CIA is the major force behind drugs in the world, has been for many years, but the CIA has their agents planted with all the major publishing houses, so no major publishing house would print it. Fortunately, Try and Day did put it out, did a good job. The Hunt for Kunsaw, we recommend it. And then, of course, we have so many other books, exciting books, that will help you understand what's really going on in the world today. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Go to our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, and we keep posting there of the new books we're carrying, but we carry many books been around for some time, many books that are hard to get and suppressed, actively suppressed, because the last thing they want is for the American people to know the truth. They want you fixated on the World Series coming up in baseball and the NFL, but you're never to understand what's happening economically, what's happening militarily and politically, what's happening spiritually in America. And the reason, of course, that people don't understand what's happening spiritually is because our churches have been infiltrated. They infiltrated the seminaries. When was the last time you heard a minister speaking out against the American program of torture? And believe me, it's still going on under Barack Obama, exactly as it did with George W. Bush. And when was the last time you heard a speaker point out how corrupt George Bush was? Why, he was a Christian, ladies and gentlemen. He was no more of a Christian than Gorbachev, actually. I met George Bush. He looked me right in the eye and professed his Christianity and then lied to me. And, of course, in fact, David Cole worked in the White House and charged the liaison with Christians. And he told how they would bring the Christian leaders in and pat them on the back and tell them how wonderful Christianity was. And when they when the Christian leader left, they'd laugh and laugh and laugh. And if they're still laughing at the Christians, they know how they have them boondoggled. Well, our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Let's pray for vision of the Monday and the Lord be with you.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies.